On this week's episode of What the Puck, the Caps finish with 2 wins in a row, Holtby holds strong in net, and 5 Caps brave the elements in Sochi. All this and more on this week's episode of What the Puck. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. What is going on out there in, I don't even know what to call it. Is it Antarctica? Is it the North Pole? We got snow coming down here in Baltimore. I don't know if he's snowed in just like me, but Coach Dan's on Skype. What's going on, man?
I'm doing my best to stay warm during these snowy times. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I got the shovel prepped, but really, I'm just getting ready for some international hockey tomorrow morning, early start to the day. I've got beer and I've got bagels. That is my whole setup for the day. I'm ready to go. But before we get into the Olympics, which are in full swing right now.
I didn't get beer.
You got no beer?
I forgot.
Come on, man. You rookie mistake.
I don't even like beer. I drink the hard cider, but I forgot that too. But that's okay.
What's your favorite hard cider?
I'll be too busy watching the games and then shoveling to have an opportunity and then passing out from exhaustion. So, you know, it's okay.
What's your favorite cider? Do you like reds?
No, I like the now you put me on the spot and I can't remember the damn name.
Angry Orchard,
thank you.
I like that.
Angry Orchard. I'm a fan.
You should try yourself a Magners if you ever get to. I'm a big fan of Magners.
Magners? Okay.
Yeah, got to check that out. But before we start talking about Olympic hockey, let's talk about the last 2 Caps games that have happened since we last talked. As the Olympics started, the Capitals, the NHL, they were still going strong. They had 2 games, 2 wins, pretty much, for the Capitals. So let's talk about those wins real quick. From a team that we keep talking about, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, these guys, I want to say they look pretty good. We talked about the fact that Troy Brouwer wasn't really doing a lot last week. This week he comes out and it looks like he's finally been awakened, and it seems like he's about to really start this season.
Yeah, I thought both wins against Winnipeg and New Jersey were both pretty solid. Winnipeg, I think, was the more interesting game than the Devils game in terms of just sort of overall hockey. I mean, the Caps played, I thought, really well against New Jersey, came away with a 3-0 win, and the 4-2 win over Winnipeg I thought was quite good. You talk about Troy Brouwer. I thought he did show up, and maybe he can take this momentum through the break and throughout the rest of the season. He got 2 goals against the Jets, and then he also got an empty net goal against the Devils, so that's 3 goals in 2 games. Not too bad, even if one of them was an empty netter. It'd be nice to see him wake up, because as we've talked about, I think throughout the entire freaking season, this team has no secondary scoring. That is a big problem. They need to have more of that, and Troy Brouwer is one of those guys that needs to step up and bring some secondary scoring to this team. They also got some secondary scoring, don't forget, from Martin Irat. He got his first goal of the season, so congratulations to him. You know, he took him over half of the freaking season to score his first goal, and it wasn't actually his first goal, technically. I'm blanking on the game, but didn't he score an own goal in, like, the game before that?
Yeah, he did.
So I think right now he technically, because he has an own goal and a goal for the Caps, he's actually should be technically back at 0 on the season. So, you know, sorry, Marty, you're not quite there. You got to pick it up a little bit, but maybe playing in these Olympic games will help him out just a little bit. The other thing for those Caps games I take away from it is that Braden Holtby played in both those games. I actually thought he played quite well. He's still adjusting, I think, to this new system they have him playing, where he sits further into the net as opposed to coming out and challenging shooters. And I kind of wonder if he's going to be using this time off. I mean, they got, two and a half weeks since their last game, more or less. Now that I think about it, it's almost, Saturday to a Thursday. It's almost 3 weeks. They sort of have this time off. I wonder if he's going to use that time to continue, get back on the ice at Kettler and work on this so that he can continue his progression through learning this new style. Because it looks like he's starting to play a little bit better. Hopefully he can stay healthy and he'll be okay in the end.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know if you saw this or not. I think it was on Caps Outsider. I'm not absolutely positive, sure where I saw this. But during this Olympic break, teams cannot use the team facilities while they're on break. So
now I look like an idiot.
So Holtby
last thing, I mean, I'm sure these guys can find ways if they want get on the ice. If it's not a Kettler, you know, if he goes home, he'll be skating on his own rink. And
yeah, you know, I'm sure he's got like a community rink or something he can use by his house or something he can train with. I mean, if he can't go to Kettler, there's somewhere he can go. That was a big thing with Jack Hillen. I think Jack Hillen brought up the fact that he thinks he's going to be ready to go after the Olympics, and he was finally starting to feel good and was finally starting to skate almost every day, and now he can't go to Kettler and skate like he once was doing. So now he's got to go back to like his hometown and use the rink there, kind of hoping that that everything will heal, even though he can't go to like the trainers or whatever for the capital. So this kind of sidelines guys that are trying to get back to their original form, but guys like Holpe, who are finally starting to get the system and it's finally starting to work for him, kind of puts a little roadblock up for them as well. But as long as I think throughout this break that they at least keep training and keep doing, staying in shape and everything they have to, and they don't really, especially a guy like Holpe, let himself go through these 2 weeks, I think that he'll still be able to do well once they're back from the Olympics.
I think some of these guys, like if you look at a Carl Alsner, who probably has, I think he even talked about having a nice vacation planned. You know, I think these are things where these guys sort of have earned that break. They've played a lot of hockey. It's good to have that time off and sort of get a nice recharge of the batteries, let the body rest a little bit. But at some point, you know, they're going to be skating or doing some sort of exercise because they want to keep in that game shape. You know, it'll be interesting to see after the Olympics how these guys play, and if you know you get halfway through the second period, third period, and you see that these guys are starting to get really tired because they're not in that game shape anymore.
If you look at Mike Green's Instagram page, number 52, he's sitting on the beach somewhere.
Okay, well, Mike, don't get hurt. I mean, you know what? He's going to get a sunburn, and then while he's trying to apply aloe or something, he's going to fall over and like break his hip or something, you know. I mean, the guy, if there's a way to get injured, Mike Green will figure it out. this is a random tangent, but like, the Orioles 2 years ago had Marty Cordova, and he actually missed a part of the season because he got sunburned really bad. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, like, but sounds like something happened to the Orioles.
I swear to God that happened, and I'm going to look it up after the show, but I swear to God that happened, and you know, if that's going to happen to anyone that is on the Washington Capitals, it's going to be Mike Green. You know, he's going to end up coming back. Oh, Green's out for a week with a sunburn. And he's just kind of one of those things where you're, really? You know? But no, I mean, the biggest thing right now is that these guys get healthy, get their bodies rested up, healed up, and ready to play the rest of the season, because this team is going to have to go on one hell of a run if they want to make the playoffs, because they have a very tough schedule right after the Olympics. Well, not right after, they play Florida, and then they have a tough schedule the rest of the way. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with some of these guys, and if there's any bit of a, you know, I need to get back into game shape over a game or two.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see what these guys do. Let's talk real quick as well. I think it was the Winnipeg game. I missed the ending of the Winnipeg game, and I got a message, an alert on my phone when there was a score, and I couldn't believe the name I saw for this goal. It was Tom Wilson. He got his second of the season, I believe, against Winnipeg. We're talking about secondary scoring. There's got to be other guys besides Ovechkin. Did Tom Wilson just get lucky with this goal, or was there some real skill from this 19-year-old? Do you think that he's really starting to fit in and gel with this team?
Well, I mean, the kid's got skill. It's all a matter of him being able to sort of push that forward and sort of get that out of him in the end, because you know, you're playing on fourth line, you're not getting a ton of minutes. If you go back and look at that Winnipeg game, like you just mentioned, he got 8 minutes. He's the only one to get less than 10 minutes of ice time. Actually, if I'm looking at it right now, he's the only one to get less than 11 minutes of ice time. He came in at 8:07, so he wasn't playing a ton. You know, but he got that goal, which was nice. It was good for him. He sort of add that to his stats. You know, I mean, the kid's got talent. It's all a matter of him being able to put it together as he grows and progresses. I mean, he's still got that potential. He's a young kid, so he's still got plenty of time. This is not, you know, it's not the best hockey we're ever going to see from him. You know, we've liked to have seen it earlier in the season, you know, with his team needing secondary scoring, and I think he does have a future as their second line right winger, a gritty guy, can sort of crash the net. You know, we've talked about before that when he was drafted, the comparisons were to Milan Lucic, and if he becomes anywhere near the player that Milan Lucic is, and it was a great pickup on the Capitals to draft him in the end. So, you know, it was a nice shot. It was a nice wrist shot. It went in the back of the net, and it worked out well for them in the end. You know, it was funny that it was assisted from Julien Brulé and Patrick Waite, two rookies. So, you know, it's sort of everybody sort of was chipping in on that game. I mean, you had a goal from Brouwer, from Wilson. Ovechkin got one, and then Brouwer again. So, you know, these guys are, you know, they started to show up in that game and against New Jersey, and hopefully we get more from Wilson as we go the rest of the way.
Yeah, and that's what we need. We need these guys to everybody kind of work together and everybody kind of show up on the same night and make sure this team is doing what they have to do. And we should really congratulate Julien Brulé. I hope I'm saying his last name right. Was it his first NHL point or his first NHL goal, or was it just his first goal as a Capital?
Well, not point. His first NHL point, I believe, was in Tom Wilson's goal against Winnipeg. His first NHL goal was against the Devils. Actually, ended up being the game winner. He had a nice shot off a pass from, I believe, from Patrick Way. They were actually quite the little pairing there between the two of them. They got some good minutes playing right around 15 minutes a night in both of those games. So, it seemed like Oates and Johansson were pretty confident in these guys, and they ended up doing pretty well and playing really well for this team. I don't expect to see either one of them back with this team after the Olympic break unless there's some injuries that last longer than the 2.5 weeks that they have off. But I think both, there's definitely some potential there in Way. He's another young guy that's going to be coming up and potentially playing with his team in the near future. Brulé, I believe, is like 27, 28, something like that. So, maybe he's a guy like Steve Oleksii who takes a while to sort of reach his potential and be able to play in the NHL, or should be playing in the NHL right now. Or maybe he's just one of those AHL guys that came up. He got a really nice goal with his parents in the crowd, so that was awesome for him and for them. It's one of those things where it was just great all around, and congrats to him.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we leave Caps World, let's talk a little bit more about the goalie situation. Originally, Holpe was not supposed to play both games. Michael Neuwirth fell a little bit ill, I believe, before the Winnipeg game. He was supposed to be the guy. Everybody said he got off the ice first to Kettler. He's going to be your starter. And then we see Holpe out there. I think Holpe took this opportunity he really had in these two games, really took the bull by the horns, and really showed that he can – to me, it seemed like he kind of got that fire back. He kind of got that confidence back that we've seen from Holpe in the past. And it seems like, he, like you said, he finally is getting the system. I don't know how great of a story that is for somebody like Nuvi, but if Holpe can establish himself as the number one guy again leading up to the playoffs, I think that's a great sign for this team. That's the big thing. They're all worried about goaltending, and who knows about the whole Ryan Miller thing, if that is going to pan out. But Holpe coming out here, showing off in these two games and really doing the best that he can do, I think it's a great sign for the goaltending situation. And really, it's a great sign for Holpe. It kind of shows that he wasn't just a flash in the pan.
Yeah, I don't think that was necessarily the thought for anyone at any point. At least not yet. He's definitely got the potential. I think that when they tried to change up his game a little bit, because it made sense to change it up when you look at it from sort of a numbers or on paper. This, it's a league where it's a lot quicker side to side and passing and things like that. If you come out and you challenge guys and you get beat on a pass, and then that's going to be wide open. So having the guy sit further back in the net does make more sense in the end. It's still sort of a question as to which one of these guys is going to be the future and which one could be traded in the offseason. I thought Neuwirth definitely made his case to be the number one guy here. I don't think it matters if he asked for a trade. If they go and trade Braden Holpe and he sticks around, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, go and look at, what was going on in Vancouver with Roberto Luongo. Everyone, including Luongo, thought that he was going to be out of town, and the team ended up trading Corey Schneider. So you never know what's going to happen. It could be in the end that Holpe is the guy that's dealt. I don't think that's going to be the case, but I wouldn't be surprised. I think Neuwirth in the end will get traded, after the season or somewhere around the draft. But they're going to roll with these two guys throughout the rest of the season to see which one of them is going to sort of stand out to be the guy if they make the playoffs and into the future.
Yeah, so let's see what happens after these Olympics. Anything else going on in Caps World we should talk about?
Just a little bit of sort of generic news that this past Sunday they assigned Boulet, Casey Wellman, and Patrick Way to Hershey. It makes sense for those guys to keep playing during the break. There's, I believe, anyone else on the roster that they would be allowed to send down. Maybe Dmitry Orlov, but I'm not entirely sure. So it sounds like those guys will be playing in Hershey, and everyone else gets a nice little break. But that's pretty much it for Caps news for a little while.
So is this like really, I guess, Tom Wilson, Connor Carrick being 19, they never really did have a spring break before since they're so young. Do you think they like went down to Daytona Beach or something and, participating in some like wet T-shirt contests?
I'm sure that they had – what?
Not participating. That's the wrong word, isn't it?
Yeah, what the hell are you talking about?
Maybe just watching. Maybe that's the – judging. Judging a wet T-shirt. That's the word I'm looking for.
This episode just got weird. no, but I mean, I'm a little surprised that Carrick didn't get sent down.
Well, I don't think he could. I think it was if you played 16 games or more in the NHL, you couldn't be sent down.
Oh, okay. See, I missed that part. Okay, well, then it makes sense. Let these guys take some time off. You know, I'd like to see these guys keep skating, practicing a little bit, sort of just them sort of skating around. You know, maybe not at Kettler. You know, you can go over to Rockville Ice Arena. You head over to Laurel at the Gardens Ice House. You could go to Fort DuPont. I don't know. You know, go somewhere and just skate around a little bit and just, you know, get some ice time and keep the legs in shape and keep their head in the game a little bit. You know, unless you're Mike Green and you're on the beach.
Hey, you know, he's chilling. He's chilling.
I'm sure that Green's going to be in shape when he comes back. And, you know, provided that – I mean, if he's on the beach, I got to think that his concussion issues are better.
Yeah, I mean, if he flew somewhere to go into a beach, especially, because if you have a concussion, you're not supposed to fly. But we'll see what happens. All right, so if that's it for Caps World, let's go to a brand new segment since we're talking Olympic hockey. This is Sochi So Far. Breaking news from the Snovechkin desk. Hi, I'm Brandon, and I'm here with Coach Dan. Coach Dan, it finally looks like it's starting to snow out there. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's coming down pretty good. A lot of schools and the federal government are closed now, so it's coming down pretty good. We'll see how it goes throughout the rest of the evening and into tomorrow.
Absolutely. Now, remember, if you can stay off those roads, definitely try to stay off those roads. I hope you're not going into work, but it looks like it's starting, and who knows when it's going to stop. But as of right now, we've got our first few flakes of snow. All right, here we go. This is what. How long have we been doing this, Coach Dan? What is it? 2 years? 2 years?
It feels like forever. No, I'm just no, I mean, oh god, I'm not gonna think about it. I don't know if I open my.
I think it's been we've been doing this show for 2 years. Before even we were on iTunes.
I have all my notes.
See, that's pretty cool, man. Yeah, you got all those. I got everything in my head. I'm going to forget everything when I get older. But if we've been doing this for about 2 years, we've kind of done everything you can in hockey besides going to the Stanley Cup Finals. We've talked regular season, preseason. We've talked lockout. We've talked KHL hockey. We have talked World Juniors hockey. Here we are 2 years into the podcast, and here we are. We're going to talk about some Olympic hockey. So
yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty cool. For those of you out there who aren't familiar with it, there are definite rule changes than the NHL. The ice is bigger over in Europe. So this is definitely a different game. It's if you're used to NHL hockey, you're going to see a lot of familiar names, but it may not look exactly the same. But let's talk about how these Olympics are going for the Capitals, because we have five Capitals over there representing the U.S. We have John Carlson representing Russia. Is of course Alexander Ovechkin, who, if you've seen anything on Twitter or whatever, his face is apparently everywhere in Sochi. He's just like the sponsor of the Olympics. He's the face of the Olympics for Russia. Representing Sweden, we have Nick Backstrom and Marcus Johansson. And the Czech Republic, we have Martin Erat, who seems to be like the capital punching bag for a lot of bloggers and podcasters and everything out there. But here he is.
Well, he makes it so easy.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It basically writes itself.
I mean, he's going to go over there for the Olympics. He wanted to be traded. Maybe he just isn't going to come back. But
hey, if anybody's not coming back, let's hope it's Mike Milbury.
That's very true. But let's talk about what's going on for Team USA, for John Carlson. Their game is coming up. We're recording this Wednesday on the 12th. Their first game is early in the morning Thursday. So we haven't seen this team take the ice yet. But in practice, John Carlson has been teamed up with New York Rangers defenseman Ryan McDonagh. Now, Coach Dan, do you know a lot about Ryan McDonagh? I don't personally know a lot about him, but how are these two going to be paired up together? Is that a good match? Is this going to be like a Carlson-Alzner type of situation where they just kind of feed off of each other? Of course, I mean, if like Ovechkin said when Carlson got picked by Team USA, there's only like 24, 25 guys in the country that are going over to represent their team, and he's one of them, so you know he's one of the best. Ryan McDonagh and John Carlson, they're two of the best this country has to offer. So what do you think of this pairing? Does this work for you?
I mean, I can't say that I know too much about Ryan McDonough. I think we've seen him when the Caps play against the Rangers, and he's certainly, you know, if he's playing in the NHL and he's playing for Team USA, then he's certainly a good defenseman. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, the team has, what, 8 defensemen, so 2 guys aren't going to be playing. So there is always the possibility that, you know, John Carlson may not end up playing for Team USA in these Olympics, even though he is over there. But, I expect him to play. I hope to see him playing. You know, he's a talented defenseman. I think putting him with McDonough, I mean, looking at their sort of just their stats on paper, they, you know, they seem to be relatively the same in terms of their height and weight. I don't know what they necessarily bring to the table. If I can remember correctly, I want to say McDonough, you know, I'm sure he's going to chip in offensively from time to time. Same thing with Carlson. But right now, it's with teams they're going to be playing up against and being in the group that they are with, that, which is also with Russia. You know, a lot of this is going to be that they need to start – need to be playing well defensively. But if you look at their coach with Dan Bylsma, and the fact, you know, I hate saying good things about the Pittsburgh Penguins, but the guy's a hell of a coach and he knows what he's doing. So if he's put those two guys together, there's definitely a reason for it. And I have faith that Bylsma is going to put the right guys together to put this team in the position to try and go out there and win gold.
Yeah, you do have to give it up to the Penguins head coach. I mean, he does have a good head for hockey. He knows what he's doing out there. My big thing with Carlson is I want to see if they put him on with the power play. He's had a lot of luck when Mike Green was hurt the first time this season for the Capitals. Carlson really stepped in, was able to get a lot of points from the point that he normally is playing at. So I'm interested to see what they do with Carlson. He may not even play. I don't know. Well, we can talk. We're going to talk about this a little bit later. But like Marcus Johansson, he was a scratch for the first game for Sweden. So Carlson could be a scratch as well. We'll see what happens. But right now, he's paired with Ryan McDonough, so we'll see what Team USA wants to do. And if you checked out, I believe it's on RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com, John Carlson does have some patriotic sticks that he's working with over there. He's got the U.S. flags on him, so pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff for Team USA. Let's talk about Ovechkin playing for Russia. Again, these guys have not played. They have not taken the ice for a game. All we really know is what they've done in practice. And let's talk about the line that Ovechkin is at least practicing on, okay? We've got Alex Ovechkin. We've got Alex Semin, two buddies. You know, they got split up a year or two ago. Semin, a former Capital. These two guys hung out together. They were really good friends. They're back together. The bromance is going on. They're playing on the same line, but they're playing with Evgeny Malkin from the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Dun, dun, dun.
What a line right there. I mean, that line right there scares the crap out of me because there's so much talent on that line. What do you think? I think that's a great move by the Russian team to do that. But if those three guys are on a line by themselves, where does that leave the rest of the team?
Okay, so here's the issue with that line that I have is that defensively they're going to be a freaking nightmare. You know, Semin's not the best defensively. We know Ovechkin can give it a shot defensively, but he's not the best as well. Even though I think and much to Mike Milbury's disagreement, he does play some solid defense from time to time. Malkin, you know, he's an incredibly talented player, but he's an incredibly talented offensive player. So, you know, I think the Russian game is going to be more offense. They're going to try and go out and score a lot of goals. I think having Ovechkin and Semin together makes sense. They have the familiarity, even though they haven't played together in a couple of seasons. And you put Malkin out there, I mean, that guy could probably play with anybody. Same thing with Ovechkin and Semin. So I'm not too concerned with them being out there and causing any issues. I think for Ovechkin and Semin being the little buddies they are, being back together will be fun for them. And I fully expect the Russians to give a better performance than they did 4 years ago in Vancouver.
That's something I'm glad you said that. Good segue here. I want to talk about this. We'll really talk in depth after there's a couple games under our belts, and we'll get to talk about it next week and the week after. Last Olympics, the Russians played very poorly. I think they were even knocked out in what, the quarterfinals? I mean, it was barely a showing by these Russians. Now it's in the games are taking place in Russia. Ovechkin is the face of Russia. He's been all over the media. He's got the Russian flag on his skates. He's got Russian sticks, just like John Carlson has USA sticks. He's a very proud Russian, and he 100% should be. He should be proud of where he came from. He's on Coca-Cola cans over there. His face is everywhere for these games. If Russia does not do well, I even want to say if Russia doesn't get gold, what is going to happen to Ovechkin when he comes back? Because We saw what happened after Vancouver. A lot of people said he did not recover from that loss in Vancouver until this year, where he looked like his old self again. If Russia does not play well, is Ovechkin going to take that to heart? Is he going to drag kind of that that feeling of loss back to the NHL when he comes back? And this is all. I mean, who's to say it's actually going to happen? Russia might do extremely well, and we won't have to worry about that. But your opinion, if Russia were to get gold, is that going to help out Ovechkin's game? If they don't place, if they get silver, is he going to be just a mess when he gets back to the U.S.?
I think if he gets gold, he gets all the credit. And if they lose, even if he plays well, all the blame is going to come down on – not all the blame, but a lot of it's going to come down on him. And if you go and you look – I was watching something earlier today, and Dan Patrick was interviewing Zdeno Chara. And Patrick asked Chara, he said, you know, how much pressure do you think is on Ovechkin? And Chara responded with, well, it's not just Ovechkin. It's everybody. All the entire Russian team has got a lot of pressure on them. And I think that's the biggest problem is everyone goes and they think, oh, well, this is Ovechkin's games. Even if he is sort of the face of these Olympics in terms of hockey, if not the Olympics in general, but with his face being on like soda machines and everything, you know, they're like, oh, well, this is Ovechkin's fault if it doesn't do well. And the pressure's all on him. It's not just on him. It's on Malkin. It's on Semin. It's on everybody. It's on Bobrovsky and Varlamov. It's on Kovalchuk. It's on Datsyuk. It's on Anisimov. It's on all these guys. You know, they're playing in front of their home – well, everyone sort of is. But they're playing in their home country, so the pressure is going to be on them, which I think is going to help them to some extent. And I think to some extent it may be a burden because they have that added pressure. You know, but I think as long as they go out and they give a better performance than they did in the Vancouver games – then I think they're going to be okay. I honestly don't think they're going to medal. I don't think they have the roster to be able to medal. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and they have some incredibly talented players. There's no question there. But I don't think they have a talented enough roster to be able to go up and defeat a team like Canada or the United States or even Sweden. So, I think they're going to do very well, but I would be surprised. I mean, not surprised, but I don't think that they're going to get a medal in these games.
It'll be very interesting to see what happens afterwards, the type of mood that Ovechkin and some of the other Russians around the league get into. But let's see how they play first before we start making, you know, judgments or anything like that. Let's see how this Russian team does. Personally, I think that this Russian team was built with a good amount of KHLers on their roster because even if they don't medal, or even if they do medal at all, I think Russia wants to say, like, look, our guys are just as good as the NHL guys. The KHL is great. Some of our players got a silver or a gold or a bronze medal, so they're just as good. So I think instead of building the best team, they wanted to say, look, our KHL is just as good as the NHL. We're using them for our Olympics. So maybe that had a little bit to do with it. I don't know. But that's just when I first saw the roster, that was my first thought.
Well, there's always some push about them wanting the KHL to be as big as the NHL. And I know after the Vancouver games, the leader of the KHL came out and said that he thinks Russia would do better if they had more KHL players. Nope, not the case. Not at all what was going to happen. If you look at the roster right now, there are two guys from the KHL that should be in the NHL, and Ilya Kovalchuk and Alexander Radulov. So, you know, I mean, some of the KHL guys, yeah, they're talented, but are they as talented as some of the guys playing in the NHL? And if you go and you look at the KHL rosters and the top scorers in their league, these are guys that were not top players in the NHL. So as much as they want to plug the KHL, it's not as good a league as the NHL, even if they want to go out and say that. So, you know, I think some of that pride in the KHL is going to cost them the opportunity to potentially get a medal in these games.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with Russia. We'll see what happens with Ovechkin. Hopefully, I kind of want him to just win gold so he's happy and can help the come back in a good mood to the U.S. or the Capitals do well. Even though I am rooting for the U.S. of A. But anyway, so we got two other teams to talk about real quick: Sweden and the Czech Republic. But they went up against each other, so it was Marty Erat versus Nick Backstrom on the ice. And I know you got some notes about that. So how did that game pan out this morning?
Well, two games kicked off the men's ice hockey today with Sweden defeating the Czech Republic 4-2. Two of those goals were from Erik Karlsson. Backstrom actually got an assist on Carlson's second goal. Is a nice passing play. Like you said earlier, Marcus Johansson did not play. I believe he was the last man in on the Swedish team because of an injury. Was it to one of the Sedins? I think, you know, who knows which one's which. I would be surprised if they switch off from time to time which one of them is which. They probably don't do that. That'd be weird. But yeah, Johansson didn't play, but Backstrom got an assist. He played, it looked like from what I saw, he played pretty well. Sweden's first goal came on a power play after a penalty to none other than Czech forward Martin Ehret. Hey. Now, where have we heard that before? I can't quite remember. The other game today was Switzerland. They beat Latvia 1-0 with a late goal by Simon Moser. How late was that goal? There were 7.9 seconds left in the game. That's pretty late. So, so Switzerland's got to win. Sweden's got to win. Czech Republic, not so much. And Latvia, does anyone expect them to win a game at all? Now, the way this works in the Olympics with the hockey teams is that there are 12 teams, and they are broken up into three even groups. And the groups are as follows. In Group A, you have Russia, Slovakia, the United States, and Slovenia. Group B has Finland, Canada, Norway, and Austria. And Group C has Sweden, Switzerland, Latvia, and the Czech Republic. So they'll all play each other, and then it'll move on to elimination after a nice little bit of the round robin. Now, Sweden will play next on Friday against Switzerland at 7:30 a.m. on formerly Versus, otherwise known as the NBC Sports Network. And the Czechs will play earlier on Friday at 3 a.m. against Latvia. That game will be on MSNBC. I have no idea what channel that is on my TV provider, so you may want to check up on yours. We got some USA games coming up. We got Russia starting up, Canada, everybody's going to be getting into it. So it should be a lot of fun. All the games are very early in the morning, so check your local listings to find out where they are on your DVR, because I am not getting up at 3 a.m. to watch hockey. If I'm already up, maybe I'll stay up, but that's a different story.
Well, if you're not going to stay up until 3, now, since we are recording this in the beginning of a snowstorm, everyone's expecting this big blizzard to roll through town tonight and tomorrow, so everything's pretty much closing. My work already closed. I don't know about you, but are you getting up early, even though it's technically a day off, to watch the U.S. tomorrow morning at 7:30?
Hell no. I have the game on DVR. I will wake up, I will grab my remote and turn on the television and watch the game. I will not be on Twitter or my phone. I'll probably have my phone on, but I won't be checking any messages because I'll be watching the game to see how they do. I'll be very excited. I'm also recording. Who the hell is playing tomorrow? Russia's playing tomorrow, right? 7:30 as well. Am I correct on that?
That's true, yes.
Yes, they're playing on MSNBC. Good luck finding that station. I have no idea where it is. While the United States will be playing on the NBC Sports Network. I'll be watching those games. It'll be a lot of fun. Not live. The games will be live, but I won't be live because it'll be DVR. But it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, everybody's getting off tomorrow. I believe I just checked on WTOP. It says the federal government is closed. So it sounds like if you're doing any sort of work tomorrow, you will not be going. Maybe you'll be working from home, but everybody gets to sleep in and have a nice time in the 19 feet of snow or whatever it is we are getting.
That sounds pretty good. I will be getting up early. I'm fully ready for that. I'm going to watch that game live. That's what I want to do. Again, I said it before. I said it again. Bagels and beer. That's how I'm starting off my day.
Drinking at 7:30 in the morning.
Hey, that's what we do here.
Dude, you got to mix it. You got to get some vodka. It's in Russia, so you got to get some vodka and the orange juice. You can make a nice screwdriver.
Oh,
so
it still very feels good idea.
Like a breakfast thing.
Yes. That's very good.
It's all for you, man. I'm helping you out.
That is a good idea. I'm going to have to do that after the U.S. game. After I see snippets of Russia's game, I think I'll pop in Miracle and watch that as well. I'm so excited for some USA hockey. So, did we cover everything for Sochi so far?
We got a little bit going on. Interesting news coming out of the Americans' camp as well as the Canadian camp. While Ryan Miller was rumored to be the favorite to start and goal for the Americans, Jonathan Quick will actually get the start on Thursday against Slovakia. And then in Canada, everyone sort of figured that Roberto Luongo is going to be the main guy. It looks like Carey Price is going to start their opener on Thursday against Norway. And then Luongo will actually play in their second game on Friday against Austria.
Yeah, there was an interview that Quick did today, and they're like, how's it feel? You've been named to the U.S. Hockey team's starting goaltender. How's it feel? Do you feel like you're good to go? And he was like, I think I'm starting just the first game. I don't think this is forever. I mean, it's definitely not going to Quick's head, but after we saw him in the playoffs last year and the year before that, I definitely think Jonathan Quick has earned his right to play at least a game or two in this tournament. Ryan Miller, of course, like you said, everybody thought he was going to be the guy, but I want to see what Quick does. I've been very impressed with Quick and the way that he plays for the Kings, and it feels pretty good the fact that he used to be a Reading Royal as well. He's an Olympian, came from the ECHL, came from Reading and worked his way up. So I'm excited to see Quick in goal and finally be able to root for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be pretty awesome to see the U.S. back out there, even if their jerseys suck. But I'll be watching the game tomorrow. I'll go get my Ryan Miller USA jersey and be wearing that as we watch, and it'll be a lot of fun. There is nothing. I mean, it's great to watch the NHL, but there's nothing like Olympic hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you go over to the Reddit subreddit USA Hockey, somebody posted a picture of the USA white practice jersey. If they would have used that as the real jersey, I think there would be no complaints of how it looks, because it's pretty sharp. I dig it.
Haven't seen it. You need to send me a link.
Yeah, I will do that after we get done recording. So if that's it for Sochi so far, let's take a plane back from Sochi and land in BWI. Let's stop real quick in Baltimore and hear from the Baltimore Sports Report Network. And then we're going to go up 83 and talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. So here we are with a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report.
What the Puck? What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Snovechkin update. Looking outside of the coach's office, it's still snowing out there.
All right, we're back here. It's up 83. Hershey Bears, Reading Royals. They don't stop for the Olympics. They have Olympic-themed jerseys. That's about it. But they're still going strong. Coach Dan, what's going on up in Hershey?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 2-1 with wins over Portland and Wilkes-Barre Scranton. The Bears currently sit at third in the East Division with 58 points and seventh in the Eastern Conference. They play again Friday in Albany, Saturday at home at the Giant Center against Wilkes-Barre Scranton, and then on the road on Sunday in Wilkes-Barre Scranton. So they got three games coming up over the weekend if they're not snowed out. Now, Reading, on the other hand, went 1-1 with a win and a loss to Wheeling. The Royals currently sit at first in the Atlantic Division with 53 points, five up on second place Wheeling. They are fifth in the Eastern Conference. Now, they are playing tonight in Elmira. They play on Friday in Wheeling, and then back-to-back home games, both of which are against Evansville. Now, I thought this was pretty cool. I don't know if you saw this, but the AHL All-Star Game and the All-Star Festivities and all that stuff, they're not playing sort of the East against the West. It's the entire AHL All-Stars are taking on Färjestad BK of the Swedish Elite League. I believe these games are going on in St. John's up in Canada. The AHL All-Stars won the skills competition 18-17. And then the All-Star Game, which was played tonight, the AHL All-Stars won 7-2. So that was actually a pretty cool thing going on with the AHL. Instead of just doing East versus West, they played the All-Stars against a team from the Swedish Elite League. That is the past week in minor league hockey.
Wow, so that's pretty cool. That's a different way of using your All-Stars. That's intriguing. Pretty cool. So if that's it for up 83, even though they're on a break right now, let's still go around the NHL. All right, here we are. We got Mike Green kicking back on a beach. We got a bunch of general managers who can't make trades, but there is still stuff going on in the NHL. So Coach Dan, catch us up and let us know what's going on around the NHL.
We'll start off with a rather scary story. Pittsburgh defenseman and supposed to be the anchor of my fantasy hockey team's defenseman, Chris Letang, is recovering after reportedly suffering a stroke. He will miss at least the next 6 weeks of hockey. But, you know, even though he is a Pittsburgh Penguin, that is a pretty scary thing to have happen. And hopefully he will have a speedy recovery and be back playing on the ice and helping out my fantasy hockey team.
Yeah, absolutely. Best of luck to him, too. I mean, yeah, he is a rival, but you never want to see something like that happen. So best of luck to him, and I hope he gets better soon.
Yeah, I mean, it was just sort of these injuries kept happening, and then just to hear there was a stroke, and he's a young guy. It's It's pretty scary stuff. Colorado forward Eric Johnson has been suspended for 2 games for a slash to the New York Islanders' Franz Nielsen. Former NHL defenseman Yanni Niemela has retired from professional hockey. He spent the last 6 years playing in Europe. During his time in the NHL, he played with Philadelphia, Edmonton, the Islanders, Dallas, and Montreal. He finishes his career with 741 games, scoring 54 goals and 319 points. He also had 24 points in 59 playoff games. Not too bad. He also won a bronze medal at the 1998 Winter Olympic Games in Nagano with Finland. Calgary signed defenseman Chris Russell to a 2-year contract extension. Deal comes with a reported cap hit of $2.6 million. Chicago acquired forwards Peter Regan and Pierre-Marc Bouchard from the Islanders for a 4th-round pick. It's kind of weird when two guys are getting traded and all the other team what really wanted back was 1 4th-round pick. That's all the interesting NHL news from the past week.
All right. Well, like we said, they're on break, so we got plenty of other stuff to talk about. Let's talk about the schedule coming up for the Sochi Olympics tomorrow morning, February 13th. We've got we're going to stick to just our capital players and the games they're playing. So it is Russia versus Slovenia at 7:30 a.m. and Slovakia versus Team USA again at 7:30 a.m. Friday, February 14th, Martin Irek and the Czech Republic will be up against Latvia at 3 a.m. Also, these are all Eastern Standard Time, in case anyone's listening. That's not in the Baltimore, D.C. metro area. 7:30 a.m., Friday, February 14th, Sweden. And then we have Sweden versus Switzerland. That game is at 7:30 a.m. on February 14th. Saturday, February 15th, we have USA versus Russia. That game is at 7:30 a.m. That's definitely one to watch for John Carlson versus Alexander Ovechkin. And then at noon, we have the Czech Republic against Switzerland. And noon as well, it's going to be Sweden versus Latvia. Full morning right there. All four teams at the Capitals are representing will be playing Saturday morning, February 15th. Sunday, February 16th, we have Slovenia versus the U.S. That game is at 7:30 a.m. Russia versus Slovakia, also at 7:30 a.m. Wow, man. And then we go into the qualification round. That is on Tuesday. Of course, we don't know what team will be playing when. The games are at 3 a.m., 7:30 a.m., and 2 noon games. So, and then on Wednesday, then we're on to the quarterfinals Wednesday when we talk again. So plenty of international hockey to watch. Also, real quick, if you are interested in women's ice hockey. Today was Canada versus the U.S. It was a hard-fought game, but Canada came out on top. We won't see the U.S., I believe, play again in women's ice hockey until Saturday, February 15th, either at 3 a.m. or 7:30 a.m. That will be the quarterfinals of the tournament. Best of luck to Team USA and especially Miss Hillary Knight. But Team USA up against Slovakia tomorrow morning, and we're going to see a familiar face for Slovakia, Zdeno Chara, the big Bruin. He's going to be playing for Slovakia up against the U.S. What do you think he's going to bring to the table here against this USA team? He's a big guy, so he brings a lot of brute force with him.
He brings height. And no, I mean, he's an incredibly talented player. He's one of those guys that the U.S. is going to have to keep an eye on shots from the point. I think they need to stay out of the box so that he doesn't have the opportunity to get all those shots from out there. They're not a weak team. They're all very talented teams. There's a reason they're playing there. They have some very talented players on their team. It's not just Chara. You also got, Marian Hossa. You have Thomas Capecchi of Florida. Andre Sekera is actually quite a good player for Carolina. He's having a good season. Vyshnovsky with the Islanders. And then my favorite player of all time with the Washington Capitals, just kidding, playing for the Slovakians is Milan Jurčina. There's a name we haven't heard in quite a little while. So that's a guy that it'll be fun to see him if he plays for Slovakia against the United States. Maybe Carlson goes up and gives him a hip check or something. It'll be fun. But they definitely have to watch out for Chara. They're not a bad team, but definitely not one of the teams that you would expect to go out there and be able to get a medal or anything.
Yeah, so that'll be fun to watch. We'll see what happens tomorrow morning. Team USA.
Snovetskin update. And now to Brandon with the Brandon Host Forecast.
It's snowing sideways.
Hey, thanks, Brandon.
That's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. I hope you've enjoyed talking a little bit about international hockey. I can't wait to watch it. Talk with us, though. Dan might not be up tomorrow. I'll be up, though, so make sure you tweet to both of us. Tweet him, too. Get him up so he watches live Team USA Hockey. So tweet to me, at Brando Cash. We'll talk about international hockey. We'll talk about the Capitals whenever you want to. At Brando Cash is my Twitter handle. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is Cap's fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. You'll get information about this show and all the other shows in the Brando Cash Network. Also, like What the Puck over on Facebook. Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Two P's in that title. You can also follow the show on Twitter at WTP_podcast, so you get information about the show whenever we feel like sharing it. If you want to get hyped up, we did post a Team USA video that some guy on YouTube edited together, but I thought it looked good, so I thought it'd be a good idea to share it with you guys. Check that out to get yourselves kind of hyped up for this. So plenty of stuff to watch in this upcoming week. Make sure you be social with the show. Talk to us. Let us know what's going on with you. Let people know that you are a fan of the show and that you like the Capitals. You love the USA. If you don't like the USA and don't share What the Puck, the terrorists have won. So make sure you share. So make sure you share this show on social media. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram and Reddit. Anywhere you are social on the web, let people know that you are a hockey fan and that you listen to What the Puck, and they should too. We are available all over the place. Make sure you go over to iTunes, click subscribe to the show, leave us an iTunes review, help us out, you know, gain a little bit more notoriety in the iTunes world. It's a crowded place. Podcasts are really important now, really popular now. Everybody's got one. So make us kind of stand out from the rest of the crowd. We are also available on Android devices. Stitcher Radio is where you can find us there. We are also available on the Baltimore Sports Report Network and CapsHill.com. So many places to listen to the show. Listen to this. Get yourself ready for some USA hockey. Now, normally we say let's go Caps at the end of this show, but this week we're saying go USA. Let's bring a gold medal home.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.